Hi, I'm Lindsay. I have alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency, which is a lung and liver disorder, which is genetic in that obviously I was born with it. It means that my lungs don't have the protection that they require to prevent them from catching infection and things like that. The repair of infection, really. I don't have the protein in my body to repair any damage that's done by pollutants or infections or anyone who smokes near me or anything like that damages my lungs. The liver holds on to that protein in my body and doesn't release it, which then means I have cirrhosis of the liver as well. Ordinarily in a normal body, the liver releases this protein to protect all the organs. So I have this condition and it means that I'm on oxygen. I have been on oxygen now for 5 years. I've climbed since I was about 7 years old. Always thought I had asthma. We didn't know I had this condition. So I've always had some impairment of my breathing. I just didn't realise that it was as serious as it was until I got to my sort of mid-30s and things became almost impossible for me to do. And it took some time to be diagnosed because my body behaves as if I'm a smoker and I've never smoked. It behaves like somebody with emphysema or COPD. So thankfully a student doctor discovered what was wrong, and now the only cure, well there's no cure, but the only hope for me now is a double lung and liver transplant, which unfortunately is not going to be possible. The best I can hope for is a double lung transplant, which would mean that my liver will do the same thing again to the new lungs. So ultimately I'll end up with the same condition, but it'll buy me some more time potentially. So.
What's climbing meant to you?
Climbing since I was tiny has meant everything to me. My dad was a mountaineer and a climber, and I was brought up by my dad on his own latterly, and all my holidays were spent in the mountains, all my holidays were spent climbing, and it's a place where I've always felt at one, safe. Even as a teenager I took my study books in a rucksack to Bothy to study, and I just feel an affinity with the mountains that I just can't explain. It makes me smile. I love them. I love the feeling of rock under my hands. I love the thrill of not knowing whether I'm going to make it or not. I just absolutely love it. And to become as sick as I did and not be able to climb was like somebody, tying my hands behind my back or something. It was horrendous. I had all but given up that I would ever, ever have that feeling again, that exhilaration, the feeling, that moment when you get to the top of a climb and you look out and you go, yes, you know, this is why I do this. It's something that's really difficult to put into words. I genuinely never thought that I would ever see that again. I came home to the Highlands about a year and a half ago to die, basically. The doctors gave me a year to live about 3 years ago, and I'd already outlived that, and I was very, very weak at this point, full of morphine and medicines that were just...
This is because your lung capacity?
Yeah, my lung capacity is sitting at that point was maybe about 27%, but my body was weak. My body was given up. And as I say, they'd pumped me full of so many medicines in order just to alleviate symptoms more than anything else, because there is no cure. And I was in a wheelchair, I couldn't carry my own oxygen. And I was very dependent on others to be washed, to be dressed, everything. So I came home to a village of Kinnelhaven, which is near Glencoe in the Highlands, and I would visit the Ice Factor, which is an indoor climbing centre. I'd visit there every day for coffee, and the lads in there sort of wouldn't have known my history as a climber, and would say, come on, do you want to have a go? And I really couldn't. I couldn't stand properly for long. But they lifted me out of my chair. Every day I went back, and every day I would have a couple more holds. I did different things. They encouraged me. They gave me stuff to wear, stuff to use. I'd sold all my kit thinking I was going to die. And bit by bit, these guys built up my strength to the point where I was confident enough to withdraw from all of these medicines that weren't saving my life anyway. I withdrew from them all. And I started to build muscle and build strength to the extent where, come the winter time, I was ice climbing and dry tooling to quite a good standard. And my indoor climbing had got almost as good as it can indoors, really. There wasn't really much left for me indoors to do. And I realised then that actually getting out in the rock could be a reality.
So that's what was behind your tooling.
Yeah. And I then noticed online there were other people with my condition all over the world who were being inspired by my little messages on my personal Facebook page about today I climbed this, today I did this with my oxygen attached, I learnt to up the oxygen levels, we found ways round of running tubes up the wall and affixing different tanks at different stages, and we just found different ways of doing it. And it inspired so many other people to then take up exercise. There's now an Alpha One support group exercise page online, and it goes crazy now. People who were told to sit at home and chill out are now going, hey, wait a minute. So it's amazing.
So what does climbing involve for you now?
For me now, the main thing is that getting me to the location to climb, that's a bit of an epic, to be fair, because the walk-in for me is the killer. Any incline, any steady incline, requires the use of the base of your lungs, and the base of my lungs is dead, it's gone, I don't have it. I only work on the top part of my lungs, so I can't take a deep breath. So carrying stuff in on my back, carrying extra weight, puts extra pressure on the lungs. So we have to carry in oxygen tanks. Ordinarily I have friends I climb with, James Higgins particularly, and he would carry in my oxygen tanks for me while I'm attached to them to get me into the base of the crag. We'll get the heart rate back down, we'll steady off a bit, and then I transfer onto a small concentrator, which takes the air, concentrates it and passes it to me as pure oxygen. It's a reasonably heavy little thing, and it's battery-powered. So I have an extra battery belt that goes above my harness, which attaches onto the concentrator. So there's a lot of extra weight I carry, which is extra pressure on the lung. But it just means that it doesn't necessarily affect the difficulty of climb. It affects the speed at which I climb, because bridging routes, for example, are particularly good for me because I can rest and get the heart rate down. The doctors have said, you know, stopping breathing is part of my condition. It does happen. It happens on climbs as well. And I start again. And as the doctors have said, one day you won't. You know, that's that. The bottom line is I do stop breathing and I keep starting again, but you know, perhaps one day I won't, but for now, I'm breathing.
And this week, I mean, it's part of your tour.
Yeah.
So that's going to go on until September?
Yeah, tour's on until September. We started in March in Scotland, we've been down to, we've been in a lot of locations in Scotland, my favourite having been the northwest up in Shegra. I'm on the most amazing rock, sea cliffs in Shegra, which are just, it's just the most beautiful place to climb. And the rock itself is to die for. It's as sticky as get out, so it's absolutely lovely. And a lot more people should go there. A lot of people don't go there because it's so far out of the way, but it really is God's country for climbing. And loads of unclimbed routes as well. And Northumberland. We've been to Northumberland on the sandstone. And we've obviously been down to North Wales. We're going off to Northumberland tomorrow, climbing Northumberland tomorrow. Back up to Scotland, climbing in Perthshire this week. So loads more locations still to come. Obviously, we're carrying on. Raising money and awareness for Alpha One along the way. People ask me all the time, you know, it's not normal to see somebody at a crag with an oxygen mask or whatever on. So people come up to me and ask all the time, if you don't mind me asking. And I like to say, look, this is what it is. You know, what's Alpha One? And then they'll go home and they'll look it up. They look it up, it's awareness. People go, I didn't know about that. And it's the second most common genetic condition to cystic fibrosis.